All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, January 31st, 2023. One more day. Last day of January. One down, 11 more to go. It is, it's overcast, raining, a little dreary, and absolutely gorgeous, right? I love this time of year. Hope everyone's having awesome weather wherever you are at. When I used to work outside, this was not my favorite time of the year. So, but now that I work inside, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of crummy out, but it's still beautiful. This is an important time of the year to get rain and get rehydrated for summer. When summer starts, it's hot and not a lot of rain. Or we can have rain. It's just definitely slows down. But anyway, good morning. Hope all is well. Hope everyone's sober this morning. Got to go to, so today is Tuesday. So yesterday I went to a meeting, Monday night meeting, step meeting. On my way, man, some bad accident. Head-on collision right over there by the meeting. I was like, God damn, look at all these freaking people. Hope everyone's all right. T's and P's. Godspeed. I think they had to do some helicoptering, unfortunately. You know, pay attention. You know, that's, you know, big reason I got sober, right? I wanted to stop being a drunk driver. I was a total drunk driver. And I didn't mean to, people. I apologize. I am sorry. I had never intended to be a drunk driver. And every day I would wake up and not to be a drunk driver again. But eventually I would find that alcohol and then I would be a drunk driver. So big gift for me, at least in this program, on top of so many other gifts. But a big gift for me was just to stop drinking and driving or drinking while buzzed or whatever it was. I was never like, I shouldn't say that. See, that's, I got to watch who's speaking here, right? Because there was almost a minute I almost said, it wasn't that bad of a drunk driver, but I was absolutely a terrible drunk driver. I remember driving back from Middletown and I couldn't even see, I had to drive with one eye. And I had heard about that happening to people in the past. I had never had it that bad, but then there was, you know, there's always that not yet, right? And then not yet was I had to drive home from Middletown with one eye open because I could not, the lines crossed in the road and pretty bad. So thank you, God, for giving me the gift of not drinking and driving anymore, at least for today. Went to a meeting last night, the Monday night's step meeting, and it was fantastic. It was on the second step. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Oh my gosh. I don't know. You know, when I came, and I'm sure everybody's story is different, but, you know, when I think back to that night, you know, and it seems like I think anybody that gets some time and finds sobriety and gets a little time begins to reflect. And I feel like I've just been reflecting a lot on, what brought me into the rooms, what got me to the point where I needed this program. You know, not a lot of time because I do, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time reflecting. It's not that important, but it is a little fascinating because my life was pretty simple at one time and then got pretty complicated in the end. And I sort of just tried to figure out why, what happened, right? And I haven't quite figured it out, but I know one thing. I became a major alcoholic. And so when I first came into these rooms, you know, my one goal, and I was thinking about this last night, I'd like to say it was to stop drinking, but I think my dream, my sober dream, when I would sit around at night drunk and dream of one day when I might be, I think my biggest hang up, my biggest fear, my biggest shame every day was the drinking and driving. But right behind it was obviously drinking. And I've always said if I could have sat on the couch, drank vodka, and watched SportsCenter and not moved, I'd probably still be drinking, right? I'd probably still be doing it. But I was such a drunk driver. And it was very, very, a lot of shame came along with that and very embarrassing. It embarrasses me to say it even right now. But and I did get a DUI. I've shared that before. I got one DUI. Great, funny experience, right? I think I've shared that. Told the lady. She says, no, I want all of you to abstain from drinking alcohol during this program. And I'm like, well, fuck, I'm an adult, right? I'm not driving. I'm an adult. I can drink. And I chose to, you know. That self-centered side of me thought that drinking, even though I was told I wasn't supposed to, was a good idea. The other problem was I was a total drunk, a total alcoholic. So I couldn't, you know, to abstain. Maybe that is to help maybe get an idea that maybe I was an alcoholic. I don't know, but I couldn't. And in the end, I told her that I had drank, and she said, well, you can come 4 more weeks. And my mom was so pissed. I'm sorry, Mom. But it was just bad, man. I couldn't quit. It is bad. But when I first came to the program, number one goal, please, just get off the damn alcohol, right? I remember driving home from my first meeting after I'd gotten out of the hospital, and it must have been, you know, 9:01, 9:10, something like that. Because back then, man, all the meetings used to be at 8 o'clock. There was no 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. There may have been a few, but the most part, most meetings were at 8 o'clock. And so I remember driving home at 9 something and just being like, I'm not drunk. This is great, right? So that was, I mean, that first achievement came pretty quickly. It came right away, right? First day. It was off the sauce. But the fact is that, you know, that excitement and that accomplishment starts to wear off, right? It doesn't have, it's not as exciting as it was the first day as it is on the 10th day or the 12th day or the 20th day or whatever it is. You know, at some point you're like, well, you know, what's that? What else can I get, right? And you start picking your way through these things, some of our shortcomings and bad behaviors that start to fade off, and we start getting better. And you know, we can keep that up for a while. It's exciting. It's, you know, it's a pink cloud. You know, I think that when a person like myself finds humility, right, finds thoughtful actions, things that are considerate of others and not just of myself, that feels good. You know, they call it the pink cloud. And I think that it's just what it feels like to feel, you know, like a life of a humble lifestyle, more of a thoughtful, caring, giving lifestyle, more than a taking, victim-y lifestyle. You know, when the first time I learned about like shaking hands and greeting people and just a humble, because all that falls under humility, right? Shaking hands, greeting, how are you, thoughtfulness. That's all, you know, a life of the upper power, the higher power life, higher power life, right? I had lived a lower power life for so long, you know, drinking and driving, getting drunk, getting in arguments, fighting, totally, you know, bringing my family complete anxiety and heartache. I mean, that was the lower power lifestyle. But the higher power, you know, building that relationship with the higher power, you know, starting to understand that it takes more than just me. It's going to take me physically not drinking, but this is going to take me spiritually working on that, my spirituality, so that when the time comes one day that I do think about drinking, I have built sort of a foundation to understand why I shouldn't or can't. But that, you know, that's after a while of just kind of just grinding through. But eventually I started to want more. And the second step, so the first step, right, and I talked about the first one last week. And I love these steps, man. I've been doing this a long time, and I love what they say, you know. And the first one was we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And, you know, I shared on that last week, at least what my thoughts are, how it's the first step has worked in my life. But the second step came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I didn't know, you know, I shared this last night. I don't know what I thought could restore me to sanity, but I know one thing. There's a part of my life, a lower power part of my life, that has driven me to insanity. And the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over, expected different results. And that's how my fucking life was, man. I used to get up every day, first thought, man, I feel like shit, right? I always woke up with a hangover or drunk. Immediate shame and guilt. right away. I'm not doing this again. Tonight's going to be different. I'm taking a break from tonight. Ooh, good time last night, but tonight we take a break. And as the day would go, I would slowly, you know, get to that point where, you know, I would start to sober up a bit, right? Start to come to my senses. And all of a sudden I'd be like, well, maybe I can just have a beer.
1, 2, 3, 4. Love is such a selfish thing. It's always crying me, me, me. And it's always trying to mess up all my plans. And I work real hard to make you understand. And I try my best to help you understand. I've been trying over the years to try and overcome these fears, but nothing I come up with proves I can. And I work real hard to make you understand. Yeah, I'll try my best to help you understand. I'm on a train, but I cannot rest upon it. I'm on a train, but it won't stay on the rails. And I got a sailboat with her name painted on it.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, thinking about those days and what was, how simple my life had got, which was basically, I'm a drunk, I'm going to feel a lot of shame and guilt on a daily basis, and I'm going to set up a whole lot of expectations, and then I'm going to, they're all going to fall through, right? Expectations meaning I'm not going to drink tonight, I'm expecting myself not to drink, let's not do that again, and then every day it happening. It was a terrible time, but I kept it real simple, you know? Let's get to some meetings. And let's just kind of see. And I like how it says, came to believe, right? Came to believe. That doesn't mean I believe or immediately I believe. It's a process. And one of the things I've realized about, you know, this program and my journey in it is it's true. You know, more has been revealed. Just when I think I understand something, next thing you know, it sort of comes to me in a different way. And I'm like, damn. That makes sense. And, you know, this was one of those things, you know, coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves. I think early on I had to just figure out what my relationship was with God, church, religion, higher power, lower power. I had to take a look at that. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I've made a lot of decisions in my life on self-centered fear. I mean, my whole life is based on self-centered fear. It's kind of strange. You know, I remember going to church. You know, I was afraid I was going to go to hell, right? I remember going to church with my buddy, and I wanted my buddy to like me. And so I went to church with him. You know, his family used to go to church. I used to like going. I mean, I wasn't consumed by self-centered fear, but it always is sort of this motivation, like, what in the end am I trying to do here? I know with my buddy John, I love John. Me and John were best friends, and I liked hanging out with him. And so whatever I had to do to secure our friendship, you know, I would do. And if going to church with his family on Sundays was part of it, I guess, you know, I did it. I didn't mind. I sort of liked church. But it was a completely different relationship than when I came to a program and needed to figure out a spiritual solution, right? And, you know, I personally believe that we wake up every day, or I wake up every day just full of love, right? And it's all good. It's all God, right? It's all love, God, humility. And as soon as my eyes open, this life starts to show up, right? And little injections of self-centered fear start coming into my life and changing and turning it to, you know, one way or the other, like an ocean. You know, the alarm wakes up automatically. I'm afraid. Am I going to oversleep? I got to get to work. I got to get the kids' food, lunches made. I got to, you know, it's just, I got to. The problem is when you live that I gotta, you live in a sort of that victim-y life, right? We get to, right? Everything that I had to do in my life, I sort of became slightly a victim of it, you know, whether it's just everything we do, right? School, work, you know, getting a job, all that. I got to get a job. I got to go to work. I got to get an education, you know, until I started looking at things like I get to. I had to stop being a victim of all that stuff. And as soon as I start realizing that these are gifts, right? These are gifts, but how do you have a gift? How does something like this become a gift if there wasn't some sort of spiritual connection for me? And so came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. I think that's what the point is right there. Greater than myself. You know, at some point in my life, it felt like I was the only person on the planet, the only person that was important. That's how I live my life. Me first, everybody else second. And it's just, it's an insane way to live. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. You know, I had that, you know, when I first came in, excuse me, when I first came in, you know, my spirituality consisted of my experience of going to church with my buddy John and a few other things. My first wife and I would go to church sometimes. We used to take my second wife would take the kids to church and Sunday school and but it was a different, you know, that's a, I gotta go. That's a have to go, right? We're going to church on Sunday. I have to go to church, right? I was not a victim of it, but it puts me in a victim-y kind of perspective. Like, it's something I have to do. My mind wasn't right, right? But when you get to go to church, right, when you get to start searching this stuff out because you want to find peace, I started to look at it from a little bit of a different angle. It was pretty sweet, you know? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, I shared last night, you know, I have a prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. You know, I shared in the past about a business that I had gotten involved in. I had never felt more powerless and more frustrated and more like a victim in all my life than when I got involved with that project. And at that moment, I said to myself, you've got to pray to God and recognize that you are not what's most powerful in this situation. He is. Or they, whatever. God is, right? I had to take this moment of humility to pray and to recognize, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. But I also had to become accountable, right? I wanted what the spiritual awakening would give me. I wanted the peace of what humility can offer. But I had to figure out what got me here? I am tired of being a victim in my fucking life. And what got me in that situation was greed. You know, I wanted the money. This looked like an easy, it is a great business. But, if we had done it right, we could have made a ton of money. It could have been fantastic. I'm sure more problems would have come rolling in after that. But the problem started right away. But I had to come to believe that if I didn't figure out a prayer or a way to turn this over, that I was going to do something wrong, do something bad, hurt somebody or hurt myself. You know, but I had to turn to my higher power and say, hey, Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, man. I can't take this. I can't carry this. I got to turn this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I had to repeat it. And it started to make me feel better. All of my issues, man, are, you know, and I said this a little bit before, you know, I came to believe that a lower power that can create insanity. You know, I shared in the meeting last night, it's always easy to be negative. My lower power is very negative. You know, hey, good morning. Is it very cloudy, it's yucky out. Yeah. But I said, like, you know, that stuff's easy. It's obvious. But can you dig deeper? Can you find the beauty in everything? You know, like I said to my wife, it's beautiful, man. The flowers are getting watered and, you know, the soil is getting loosened up and the earthworms are doing all this great shit. And, you know, the trees are resting and the plants are sleeping and, you know, everybody's kind of cool. The traffic's chill because it's time of year. But I had to really think about that. How can I dig out some positive out of what I've always thought in the back of my head is a negative? It's very easy to be negative. It's a lot harder to be, you know, to you know, put some effort into your thoughts and try to figure it out. But my negative thinking, my lower power thinking, I've been doing that for so long that I've just gotten used to it, right? You know, I've based so much of my life on some have to kind of thinking that I'm trained that way. But I have to start thinking more positive. I have to start thinking in a more humble lifestyle. I have to start thinking more of a higher power. And I have to start to come to believe that there is a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity. First of all, I had to figure out what is sanity, right? You know, living that lower power sort of lifestyle is insanity. And, you know, doing the same thing over, expecting different results is insanity. And I did that for a long time when it came to drinking. And when I, I quit. But listen, I can do insane shit now. I can still do insane shit. And that's not fun. Let me see if I can do a reading. The last thing I shared last night was, listen, it came to believe, which means it takes time. You know, if you're new to the program, stick with not drinking and going to meetings. Don't drink, go to a lot of meetings. Do that for a while. That we can do. That was one of the things that I liked the most when I came to the program, is I could do that. Like, I could go to a meeting and I could not drink. And for, you know, that bar fight knocked the obsession to drink out of my head. As long as I didn't put in a drink in my mouth, right? I mean, they talk about that, and I've shared. As soon as I put a drink, I can't stop. Every time. It's like opening the gates of hell. But if I don't put the first drink in my mouth, that never happens, which is, you know, thank God. I would hate to be, and I know some people are, you know, tortured by their desire to drink before and after the alcohol. I don't look, you know, now where I'm at in my life today, I don't crave it. Maybe I might have craved it back when I was still drinking, but I think it was just habit. But I don't crave alcohol today, as long as I don't drink it. If I put a drink in my mouth, I'm off to the races. And that's that. Nobody wants that. All right, let's see here. Daily reflections. Dun, 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 dun. All right. Our common welfare comes first. The unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality our society has. We stay whole or AA dies. 12 steps and 12 traditions. Our traditions are key elements in the ego deflation process necessary to achieve and maintain sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous. The first tradition reminds me not to take credit or authority for my recovery. Placing our common welfare first reminds me not to become a healer in this program. I am still one of the patients. Self-affecting elders built the ward. What? Self-effacing elders built the ward. Without it, I doubt I would be alive. Without the group, few alcoholics would recover. The active role in the renewed surrender of will enables me to step aside from the need to dominate, the desire for recognition, both of which played so great as a part in my active alcoholism. Deferring my personal desires for the greater group of good, growth contributes towards AA unity that is central to all recovery. It helps me to remember that the whole is greater than the sum of all its parts. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things about doing this podcast. You know, I like to try to share, but I'm a patient, right? I'm not a healer. I am absolutely, and I shared this in the meeting last night. I need 3 meetings a week, regardless if I think I do or not. I need to be, you know, and I like sort of how my meetings are right now. I've got a step meeting. I've got like a sort of a open discussion speaker meeting, and then my Friday night meeting. So I've got 3 good meetings I'm going to, and I'm just like sitting back listening, you know, what's coming at me. You know, there's voices like, do we really need 3, right? There's voices like, you know, you've got this much time. Do we need this many meetings in a week? And then I got the other side of me that's like, hey, this is good for you. Hey, there's nothing else going on. And, you know, the fact is, if something is going on, if something comes up in my life, I can always not go to the meeting, right? This weekend is my wife and I's anniversary, and we are going out to dinner. We have a big weekend plan. My in-laws are coming to town from Connecticut. They surprised us. They called and said they want to come down and take us out to dinner. And we're like, yeah. So they're coming down. And then my dad is going to take us out to dinner on Saturday night. So we're going to be hanging out and, you know, just having a great time and probably not going to make the meeting on Friday. You know, so it's not like it's something I have to do. It is what I've my schedule that I've put in place that sort of works for me. But shit, things come up, right? Things come up. I enjoy the going to meetings. Not all the time, but, you know, I'm realizing more and more that during the pandemic was really a tough time for me, at least. I'm sure for a lot of people, because meetings are a part of my life. But, you know, I've also gone through periods in my life where I get sick of meetings, right? And I get sick of, and this sort of was happening to me prior to this pandemic starting. I started to feel a little complacent or opinionated, or just, my finger was pointing at other people, but the other fingers were pointing back at me, and I'd sort of lost touch. It was weird, man. This pandemic and kind of going through everything we went through really, I feel like, has really opened my eyes a little bit better to this program. You know, I did not pay attention a lot to my lower power. You know, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. You know, I've been doing that, but I just didn't quite, you know, like I said in the meeting last night, it's like you have the good angel and the bad angel on my shoulders. And it's how my life is today. But I spent so much time paying attention to the bad angel that I just got used to that voice and that sort of reasoning and didn't believe that there was any other option. And today, you know, I get to listen to that other side, to my other shoulder, and realize that there is another side and there is another way. But it requires, a spiritual relationship and, or at least trying, right? A humble-based spiritual relationship, a life of not of self, but of others, really. And what a big deal. I hope that made sense. I don't know if it made any sense. It's a little early. I hope everyone's having a great day, though. And if you're new to getting sober, just hang in there. It is awesome. But it's one day at a time, and not every day is awesome. But in the end, the big picture is totally awesome. So hang in there, get to a bunch of meetings, you know, get a sponsor, work the steps, and just don't drink. Later. But I don't know how to sail. Someone smarter than me and you might end up solving a clue or two, but could they make it happen with their hands? Can they build it up from nothing with their hands? I could lose my mind just trying to understand. Love's all
Love is such a selfish thing. It's always crying me, me, me. And it's always trying to mess up all my plans. And I work real hard to make you understand.